Millions of people are investing in the stock market blindly. Are you one of them? Do you feel like your investment plan is a lost cause and too confusing? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Ron DeLegge's Portfolio Report Card will help you. Go to etfguide.com and find out if your current investment mix passes or flunks. Ron DeLegge will help you to identify and correct any weaknesses in your IRA, 401k plan, or regular investment account. Go to etfguide.com to get your free Portfolio Report Card.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host, Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to the program. I'm Ron DeLegge, your host and financial DJ. Coming up on today's show, deadly sins of mutual fund investing and why you should avoid them. That coming up. Also, we'll be doing a portfolio report card for Andy in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. We will be dissecting his investment portfolio. He's got a taxable brokerage account with TD Ameritrade, and it's just over $100,000 in value. Now, we will talk about all the specific holdings within Andy's portfolio. And we will also talk about some key areas of that portfolio, including cost diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. And at the end of today's show, I will give Andy a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. So if he gets an A, you know the drill. That means I pay him $100. And by the way, that's a challenge that I leave open to all our listeners. If Ron DeLegge grades your investment portfolio and you get an A, I pay you $100. I mean, how great is that? So will Andy get a crisp $100 bill on today's show? Well, you'll have to find out. If you'd like to join us, we're here. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, if you want to talk about the financial markets, the economy, anything on your mind, financial, 877-711-5611. Please do give us your first name, along with your city, and also the ticker symbol of that stock, mutual fund, or ETF that you want me to talk about. So let's get right into some of the key things happening in financial markets. We've got the S&P 500, which tracks one of the main benchmarks of U.S. stocks, which tracks large company stocks right here in the U.S., about to be up. Well, let's just say up. Forget about to be. Up six consecutive quarters. Now, that's the fourth longest streak since 1950. U.S. stocks are on fire. And we've got the total U.S. stock market, which also includes not just those large caps, but then also those mid and small company stocks, up just over 6%. So the bulk of the action really happening with those mid and small cap company stocks, especially mid-cap value, that particular area within the U.S. equity market's been really, really performing strongly. U.S. Mid-cap value stocks up around 10% since the beginning of the year. So what do you think about this? What do you think about six consecutive quarters of straight positive gains for the S&P 500? Like I said, that's the fourth longest streak since 1950. Yes, it seems a little frothy, but we've got to obey. We've got to respect market prices. And if you want to try to short this market at this particular juncture, it's like stepping in front of a freight train. Really, that's what it is. You might as well just burn your money in the garbage. Because at least if you burn it, actually, put it in the fireplace. If you put it in the fireplace and burn it, at least it'll keep you warm. If you just put it in the garbage, it won't keep you warm. But if you set it afire and you put it in your fireplace, at least it will generate some energy. But this is what bears are contending with. We've got very low volatility. As most of our listeners know, the VIX, which tracks stock market volatility has been like a dead fish in water and has hit 52-week lows. So the VIX is still lingering, but we know that this is the quiet before the storm. I mean, we pretty much can accept that as grown-ups, right? The market psychology moves and changes very quickly. So we know volatility is like a sleeping giant. And man, when it awakes fast, and it is it can be very, very chaotic. So now is the time to prepare your investment portfolio ahead of that. Not as it's happening, not when it unfolds. You prepare now. Because if you don't prepare, well, then you can fail to prepare, right? Isn't that the old saying? Fail to prepare, and you can prepare to fail. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. I want to do some trivia on today's program. I'm going to be giving away a book, my book, which I wrote called Gents with No Sense, A Closer Look at Wall Street, Its Customers, Financial Regulators, and the Media. Great book. Gents with No Sense. It's available at Amazon.com. It's got 4.5 stars, which I think is pretty good. 4.5 stars out of 5. So the caller or tweeter or emailer that gets this question right will get a signed copy of Gents with No Sense. Is that a deal or what? So here's the question, and I'm going to give you this trivia before we get into Andy's investment portfolio. We'll look at all the details and grade that portfolio. But before I do that, here's the trivia question. When is it okay to buy and hold individual stocks inside your investment portfolio? Is it A, when you read about a great little company with a new product? Is it B, a friend with lots of money tells you about a can't-miss opportunity? Is it C, after you've built the foundation of your portfolio on broadly diversified index ETFs touching all the major asset classes? Or is it D, you find out a famous investor has taken a new stake in a stock that you've been eyeing? So when is it okay to buy and hold individual stocks within your portfolio? You've got a 1 in 4 chance of being right. Call the show, 877-711-5611. The caller with the right answer will get a signed copy of Gents with No Sense, A Closer Look at Wall Street. 877-711-5611. Phone lines are open. You can also tweet me the answer or tweet the program live. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. Email address, ron@indexshow.com. If you want to take up my challenge, my portfolio challenge, well, I will grade your portfolio. I will give you an A, B, C, D, or F. And if you score an A, which is a outstanding score, let me just say A is like pitching a perfect game in baseball. There's nothing that can be improved if you get an A in your investment portfolio. I will pay you $100. It's that simple. Now, I don't care how big or how small the portfolio is. It could be a small account, a large account. It could be an IRA, traditional Roth IRA. It could be a 401k plan. It could be a traditional brokerage account, a joint account, a trust account, family account, an UGMA account. I really don't care. If it's got any types of investments in it, mutual funds, ETFs, individual stocks, closed-end funds, whatever, I will dissect it like a surgeon and get to the root of what ails your portfolio. I will tell you the strengths and the weaknesses. Get in touch with me at Index Show is my Twitter handle. ron@indexshow.com is my email address. So let's take a look at Andy's portfolio. Let me just lay the groundwork for giving you some background on who Andy is. He's self-employed. He's a small business owner. He's 41 years old. He's single. He is a father. And he's from Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Now, he's got 10 different brokerage or 10 different investment accounts. On today's show, I'm going to look at just one of them. We're going to look at his taxable TD Ameritrade account, which has just a little over $100,000 invested in it. Andy currently has 9 ETFs, 2 stocks, and 2 mutual funds. The intimate details when I return. This is the Index Investing Show.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
You know that I love challenging the intellect of my audience. And I periodically do that with trivia questions that are intended to stump you. But one thing that I always do with my trivia questions is I give you a multiple choice so that you at least have a little bit of a chance. I mean, this is not Las Vegas where you've got pretty much zero chance of winning. So with today's trivia question, that's exactly how I framed it. I want to test the intellect of this audience. I want to see how intellectually capable you are when it comes to investing. This is the question, and the caller, tweeter, or emailer that gets the right answer, chooses the right selection, will get a signed copy of my book, Gents With No Sense, A Closer Look at Wall Street. So here's the trivia question. Listen very closely. When is it okay to buy and hold individual stocks inside your investment portfolio? Is it A, when you read about a great little company with a new product? Is it B, a friend with lots of money tells you about a can't-miss opportunity? Is it C, after you've built the foundation of your portfolio on broadly diversified index ETFs touching all the major asset classes? Or is it D, you find out that a famous investor has taken a new stake in a stock that you've been eyeing? So which of these worldly choices is the right answer? Is it A, B, C, or D? 877-711-5611. Give me your first name, give me your city, and give me your answer. And if you get the answer correct, you'll get a signed copy of Gents With No Sense. Coming up on today's show, we're going to get into the deadly sins of mutual fund investing. Also coming up, we're going to get into a portfolio report card for Andy in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Why don't we take a look at some of the first couple features of his portfolio? Now, as I said earlier, he's got 10 different investment accounts. On today's show, we're just going to focus on his taxable TD Ameritrade brokerage account, which has just over $100,000 in it. Now, Andy's 41 years old. He's a small business owner. He's single. Here are some of the things that he told me about himself. He says, Ron, I've got quite a few accounts, both taxable and non, mostly self-managed, but one of them at Oppenheimer, I have a professional money manager helping me. My investing style is aggressive. My goal is capital appreciation. Now, in describing how he selects stocks, ETFs, and mutual funds in his portfolio, because I want to know that. Are you throwing darts at a dartboard? Are you buying research? Are you listening to what you hear and read in the media? How are you selecting the investments in your portfolio? So Andy told me, from time to time, I sold things that either didn't perform well or just sort of settled in a trading range for a while. Then I'd research investment ideas and buy what looked attractive to me. So that's just kind of a little bit of a background on Andy and his process for how he invests. So let's begin by taking a look at the first area of Andy's portfolio, diversification. And of course, by now, all of our listeners, regular listeners, should know what Ron DeLegge's definition of diversification is. Broad exposure to all the major asset classes, not just stocks, not just bonds, but cash, real estate, commodities. If you want to throw in some collectibles, go ahead, be my guest. But these are the major asset classes, TIPS, which refer to Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. This is what a diversified portfolio is all about. And investment portfolios that don't have that Well, they don't pass my grade when it comes to diversification. So in Andy's case, he has got 9 different ETFs, 2 stocks, 2 mutual funds, and his 3 biggest positions are ticker symbol PEP, that's PepsiCo, that's an individual stock, PNQI, which is the NASDAQ Internet ETF, and then PSCT, which is an S&P small cap tech ETF. So these are his 3 largest positions in his portfolio. The other positions are focused mainly on technology. Only 2 holdings within Andy's TD Ameritrade portfolio are what I would consider core or foundational positions, meaning they're broadly diversified and they touch major asset classes. Repeat, you cannot build a solid financial house without the proper bricks or the proper building materials. And so with only 2 holdings within Andy's TD portfolio being what I would consider core foundational positions, that's not enough. Absolutely not enough. And by the way, those 2 positions, if you're curious and wondering, ticker symbol VTI, which touches the total U.S. stock market, and then ticker symbol PRF, Rafi 1000, which is kind of an offshoot of VTI, but with a slight, basically a different take slant on things. But generally the same idea, broad diversification to U.S. stocks. Now, another problem with Andy's 2 core holdings is both invest in the same area, U.S. stocks. So it's unnecessary overlap. You don't need to own both. It could be one or the other. Now, examining the rest of Andy's portfolio, we see this reoccurring theme I found of overlapping positions. In other words, where he owns funds covering the exact same area. Now, he owns 4 ETFs, all focused on either technology, internet stocks, growth stocks, small cap stocks. And again, it's just needless replication. There's no reason to have the same funds investing in the same types of stocks or securities within your portfolio. So overall, he is missing some major exposure to key asset classes. He has no exposure to bonds in this portfolio. He's got no exposure to TIPS, very little exposure to cash, real estate, as well as commodities. Actually, REITs and commodities, got no exposure there. A little bit of exposure to international stocks. He doesn't have any exposure to emerging market stocks. This portfolio flunks when it comes to diversification. Andy's got to do a much better job in that particular area. Now, we're going to take a couple of looks at his other aspects of his portfolio. We'll look at cost, risk, taxes, performance. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Frank. Frank is with us. He's listening from beautiful San Jose, California. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. How you doing, Frank?
Enjoying it, Ron. Thanks.
So I take it you want to answer the trivia question. Before you tell us the answer, I want to just throw it out there. When is it okay to buy and hold individual stocks inside your portfolio? Is it A, when you read about a great little company with a new product? Is it B, a friend with lots of money tells you about a can't-miss opportunity? Is it C, after you've built the foundation of your portfolio on broadly diversified index funds touching all the major asset classes? Or is it D, you find out that a famous investor with billions of dollars has taken a new stake in a stock that you've been eyeing? So which of these worldly choices is the right answer, Frank?
I'll go with C there, touching all the foundations after that.
Amen, brother. And hopefully you're doing that in your own portfolio. Please say yes.
I try and keep an eye on it.
Try to keep an eye on it. Listen, Frank, this program is more than trying to keep an eye on it. This is not just about framing and having the right mentality when it comes to your investment approach, but putting that into practice. You're going to get a signed copy of my book, Gents With No Sense, A Closer Look at Wall Street. And just stay on the line. We'll get your mailing information. Good job, Frank. And he did get that answer right. So the right time to buy and hold individual stocks in your portfolio again is after you've built the foundation of your portfolio on broadly diversified index ETFs, touching all the major asset classes. That's the priority. That's what comes first. After you've taken care of that, and you want to go bonkers, and you want to invest in individual stocks and small caps and micro caps and IPOs and unlisted securities and private equity and all that stuff, well, do it with your extra money. Do it with money you can afford to lose. Your serious money, the money you care about, should be banked on in a broadly diversified approach, low-cost index ETFs, rock-bottom costs, tax-efficient, touching all the major asset classes. That's where you begin, folks. 877-711-5611. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're doing a portfolio report card for Andy. He's in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. And we just looked at diversification. We will look at cost. We will look at risk. We will look at taxes, performance, and I will give him a final grade on today's show of A, B, C, D, or F. Ron@indexshow.com is my email address. I'll be right back. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
At 877-711-5611. That is the number if you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF. If you want to talk about your own investment portfolio, that's great. That's what I would rather talk about. I love to talk about the context of your entire investment portfolio. Have you noticed how this program is different from the rest? We talk about the big picture. We talk about the context. We don't talk about and focus overly so on the individual holdings. I mean, that's important. Yeah, we can talk about it in a intelligent way, but I want to know the bigger picture. I want to know how the bricks fit into the overall structure. And that's why I don't just get into talking about the individual ETFs or stocks or mutual funds, but I want to know how those relate to other assets, other positions within your overall investment portfolio, and how that is helping you or hindering you in your financial goals. And that's the whole purpose, that's the whole point of Ron DeLegge's portfolio report card. It's to give you a very succinct look, a snapshot of the strengths and the weaknesses of your investment portfolio. And I have to commend all of the people that have taken my portfolio report card because, you know, it takes a level of trust as well as organization to put all that together and to send it to me. So I have to commend all of you that have taken Ron DeLegge's portfolio report card. And like I said before, I open up a challenge to every single one of our listeners. If your portfolio scores an A, I pay you $100. But the question is, will you make the step? Are you ready to make the commitment to yourself? Because many of you are not ready to make the commitment to yourself. Many of you are just lingering along listlessly, ignorantly when it comes to your investment portfolios, hoping for the best? See, that's not the way we invest on this program. We're educated. We're deliberate. Everything that we do is purposeful when it comes to our investments, how we assemble our portfolios. So we just looked at Andy's investment portfolio in the first category, diversification. He flunked. He's got 9 ETFs, 2 stocks, 2 mutual funds divided across a $100,000 taxable brokerage account with TD Ameritrade. And the problem, as we highlighted, was he only has really 2 core holdings that have exposure to the same area, U.S. stocks. He's got no exposure to other major asset classes like commodities or real estate or bonds, and that's a problem when it comes to diversification. So taking a look at the next area, cost, and we want investment portfolios that purposely and deliberately minimize investment costs to the max, because the less you pay in investment costs to your fund managers, to your brokerage companies, in trading commissions, etc., and so forth, that translates at the end of the game to more money in your pocket. And that's what we want. So when it comes to cost, Andy's portfolio, he's got 9 ETFs. I think most of them are okay when it comes to cost. I don't see any blatant issues. Now, the 2 mutual funds he owns, by the way, the Vanguard Dividend Growth Fund, ticker symbol VDIGX, and the AMG Yacman Income Fund, ticker symbol YACKX. So looking in the bigger picture in terms of cost, when we mix in the ETFs with the mutual fund holdings, I don't really see any major problems when it comes to excessive investment costs, with the exception of 3 ETFs, which I think have higher or above average costs compared to their peers, FXP, PNQI, and then SDIV. Those are 3 ETFs that Andy owns that I think have above average expenses relative to similar ETFs where he can get much lower costs. So I think that's something that he can definitely tweak in terms of cost. In terms of risk of Andy's portfolio, this particular investment mix is pretty much allocated all the way around to stocks. And I would say, even for somebody that's 41 years old, that has a relatively long time horizon in terms of investments, that should still not be a 90 to 100% equity exposure inside the portfolio. So that's what Andy currently has. And the problem is, in terms of risk, what happens when the market starts to falter? What happens when the market has a severe correction? Well, the risk is really it's going to jump out at you. It may not be noticeable now when stocks are rising. There's that old saying that in a rising tide, a rising market, that all boats are lifted. Well, that's true to some extent. And that's not usually when you notice that you've taken too much risk with your portfolio. So I would say this is something that needs to be immediately addressed. Is this portfolio has way too much allocation to the stock market. Like I said, 90 to 100% of exposure to the stock market is not something that a 41-year-old, a self-employed person should be having, even if you're aggressive. An aggressive allocation for someone in this age group would be probably 70 to 75% stocks, and then the rest divided across other asset classes. But in this case, Andy's way, way above that. So we just looked at 3 main categories of Andy's portfolio report card. He's 41 years old. He's from Cedar Grove, New Jersey. He's got a little over $100,000 in a taxable TD Ameritrade account. We looked at cost. He's got to do some work there. We looked at diversification. He flunked. And on risk, he also flunked. So not too good of a start. But we'll look at taxes, we'll also look at performance, and then we'll give him his final portfolio report card on today's show. If he gets an A, he gets $100. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. I also write daily articles at ETFGuide.com. I publish the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, which is also available at ETFGuide.com. We just came out with our July newsletter. I encourage you to pick up a copy. And included in that newsletter on page 5 is our monthly income trade for July. Now, the way it works is once a month, we do a covered call trade on a low-cost all ETF portfolio. Now, in the month of June, we generated just over $1,200 of monthly income. In the month of July, we just generated over $550 of monthly income. And the way we do this is by selling covered calls to generate additional income over and above what we would collect, what we're collecting from dividends on the underlying ETFs we own. So it's a very simple, no-nonsensical strategy. And if you'd like to find out the exact strike prices of those options and the ticker symbols and all that stuff, just go to ETFGuide.com, click on the Profit Strategy newsletter, subscribe, and join me. Join me, and you will not be disappointed. Now, I want to talk about the deadly sins of mutual fund investing before we get to the rest of Andy's portfolio. People should only buy mutual funds with experienced portfolio managers with a good long-term track record. That's one of the things that's commonly said. Also, investing in highly rated mutual funds with at least 4 and 5 stars is a surefire way to choose the best funds. This is just some of the propaganda of the dead wrong thinking about how you should go about mutual funds investing. So I want to get to some of the sins and also some new research that really exposes this type of propaganda. That coming up next, right here on the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. Be here or be nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
A small sample of some of the propaganda, the entrenched but dead wrong conventional wisdom that the investing public is constantly sold and barraged when it comes to mutual fund investing. Now, here's just a sample of some of the propaganda again that you are barraged with, you are constantly sold. Quote, people should only buy mutual funds with an experienced portfolio manager that has a good long-term track record. End of quote. Quote, investing in highly rated mutual funds with at least 4 and 5 stars is a surefire way to choose the best fund. End of quote. Quote, our firm screens thousands of mutual funds to help our clients find funds and managers that have stood the test of time. End of quote. See, these are some of the authoritative but dead wrong wisdom, conventional wisdom about mutual fund investing that you're sold. Now, it's no secret that all top performing mutual funds don't stay that way indefinitely. And a new research report totally upends the fairyland theory that mutual funds with long-term performance track records are better than funds with no track record. A research report titled Scale and Skill in Active Management, published at the National Bureau of Economic Research just this past spring, examined over 3,000 mutual funds from 1979 to 2011. And do you know what researchers discovered, people? They found that funds with 3 years or less in age, in other words, funds with no performance history, actually outperform funds with more than 10 years of performance history by guess how much? Almost 1% annually. Isn't that just incredible? This completely destroys, this completely assassinates that propaganda that you must buy mutual funds with experienced portfolio managers that have a good long-term track record. That couldn't be more wrong than ever. These numbers, while shocking to some, follow a consistent pattern that I've seen in my evaluation of mutual fund investment portfolios in my portfolio report card. Basically, there are only two types of mutual fund owners, those who know everything and those who know nothing. And you want to know which group is larger? Can you take a guess? Which of those two groups is larger? Those who know everything and those who know nothing. So scale and skill in active management, this is the latest research that contradicts this popular belief, but wrong belief, about mutual fund investing, like highly rated 4- and 5-star funds can be counted on to consistently beat the market. That's wrong. Investors should avoid mutual funds without a performance history of at least 5 or 10 years. Wrong. Fund managers must be experienced and tenured to deliver good results. Wrong. This research report just completely blows away and assassinates everything that you know about mutual fund investing, everything that you've been taught. Scale and skill in active management. You can read the rest of the article at etfguide.com. This is one of my deadly sins of mutual fund investing, buying based upon historical performance. Don't make these same widespread mutual fund mistakes. The full article is at etfguide.com. I've also got a link to that particular research report. 877-711-5611. That is the number. Follow us on Twitter at Index Shows, my Twitter handle. You can also tweet the program live. You can like us on Facebook. Pick up my July ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. It's available at etfguide.com. And we just did our monthly income trade for July. Picked up just a little over $500 of monthly income. I'm loving it. Let's take a look at what some of the key market segments are up to. U.S. stock market, total U.S. stock market, through the first 6 months of the year, up just above 6% and performing very strongly. VEA, which follows international stocks, up 2%. Emerging market stocks, ticker symbol VWO, up an even 5%. Total U.S. bond market up 2.5%. Gold, ticker symbol GLD, up just over 9%. VNQ, which follows U.S. REITs, one of the best performing industry sectors this year outside of the S&P 500. VNQ up just over 16%. Now, all nine S&P 500 industry sectors are posting year-to-date gains, with the exception of consumer discretionary stocks, ticker symbol XLY, which are down 0.1%. And those top performing industry sectors, we've talked about them very often on the show. Utilities, XLU, ahead by just over 15% since the beginning of the year. And energy stocks, XLE, up 13% since the beginning of the year. And those two ETFs, by the way, weekly picks at etfguide.com. We told our subscribers about those two ETFs a couple of weeks ago. Well, actually, XLU was a couple months ago. XLE was a couple of weeks ago. But we do have long positions in both those ETFs at etfguide.com in the Profit Strategy newsletter. So let's take a final gander at Andy's investment portfolio. He's in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. We looked at cost. We looked at diversification. We looked at risk. Let's look at taxes, performance, and give him a final grade. So in terms of taxes, I don't really see any major problems with this particular portfolio. He's got 9 ETFs, 2 stocks, 2 mutual funds. I don't see any major problems in terms of huge capital gains. And he did mention to me this particular portfolio, he doesn't trade it very often, which is good from the perspective of minimizing taxes. Now, in terms of performance, he began in May of 2013 with a starting balance of $85,500. His May 2014 ending balance was $108,000. And if we calculate that 1 year return, pretty nice return, 27% gain. So he actually, relative to the Vanguard Total U.S. Stock Market ETF, ticker symbol VTI, he actually outperformed the indexes by around 10%. So you say to me, well, how is that possible? He flunked on diversification. He flunked on risk. He did okay on cost and taxes. How is it that he outperformed the market by a whopping 10%? Well, even a squirrel, even a blind squirrel finds a nugget every once in a while. And like I said before, rising tide lifts all boats. In this market, you can throw a target, you can throw a dart at the target and pretty much hit bullseye. And again, if that is true, that a rising tide lifts all boats, it's conversely true that a tsunami will sink all boats. And that's usually what happens when the market corrects. And this portfolio, if it can outperform the market on the upside, I can tell you that when the market corrects, and it will, this portfolio will absolutely get creamed. And we will probably see underperformance on the downside, which will negate the performance on the upside. So my final grade for Andy's portfolio is a C. Now, even though he did okay on performance over the past 1 year, actually did fantastic, this portfolio has got to shore up some serious problems and serious issues, mainly with diversification and risk. So those particular areas, I think he's got to absolutely add some other asset classes to the mix besides stocks. He's also got to limit his risk in terms of his exposure to stocks and add some real estate, add some bonds, add some international stocks, emerging market stocks. The bulk of his exposure is to U.S. stocks. One other point that I want to make with Andy's portfolio, this is one of 10 different investment accounts that he has. And I looked at the rest of his portfolios, and it's just, there's just way too much happening. It's impossible to manage 10 different investment accounts. And one of his objections to consolidating his accounts is that the tax consequences from his fractional share positions, which will automatically get sold when he transfers his accounts. Are brokers still doing that? But anyway, in this case, managing the investments correctly, that's the priority. That comes first. Being organized comes first before those incidental tax ramifications. So that would be my my suggestion to Andy. Well, thanks for taking my portfolio report card, Andy, even though you didn't get an A. Got some work to do. That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Till we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.